Welcome to In Case of Emergency, your podcast about insights into crisis management and emergency notifications. Your podcast source related to business continuity, emergency response, public alerting, and much more. We believe that sharing information, learnings, insights, and best practices is so important, which is why we're very happy to present this podcast to you. My name is John Davison, and I will be your host for this podcast series, In Case of Emergency. Under the new directive of the EU legislation, all EU member states will have to set up a public warning system to protect citizens until June of 2022. To discuss the importance and relevance of such a system, we have invited an expert on this topic, in Amélie Grangeat. Amélie is a senior product manager and expert on public warning systems at F24. She has implemented the Belgium public warning system called Be Alert, and she advises several European governments and institutions on how to build up their public alerting strategy. She has a PhD since 2016 on the topic of crisis management and resilience of critical infrastructures, and Amélie shares regularly her experience through international conferences. Welcome, Amélie.
Thank you.
So let's get started straight away, Amélie. The first question, which I think is the most important, is why is a public warning system so essential and how is it applied around the globe?
So the answer is quite simple. A public warning system is essential because it's saving lives. So crisis management is not only about how the official authorities react to a crisis. It's also to give to the citizens the power to be resilient and to protect themselves. And for that, you need to warn them and to help them having the right information on time. So it's important that this information, whether it's vigilance, alerts, or updates, reach everyone located in an affected area on time. And for this, and this is the main purpose of actually the European directive, you need to rely on two technologies. Implemented by the mobile network operators, which are location-based SMS or SAM broadcast.
Okay. And I'm assuming in terms of the information that is communicated, it's to support any type of event?
It can be any type of events as long as it concerns the citizen's life. So meaning you won't use such kind of system to broadcast political information. It's really a topic of saving life, and it's well structured, I would say, by the GDPR regulations, mm-hmm. So the data for protecting data privacy. And so it can be used in, it's what we call a multi-hazard public warning system. You provide the technology to warn the citizens, to warn everyone which is affected by a certain danger, but it's not constrained by the kind of event.
Okay, understood. So, and who then, Amélie, would typically operate a public warning system? And how does it actually work? You sort of went into it a little bit there, but interested to learn more.
Yeah, good question, actually. The crisis management structures are different as a function of the countries. So you have sometimes countries which have a centralized approach, meaning only national authorities have the right to warn and alert the population. And sometimes it's a decentralized approach, meaning, for instance, in Belgium, every mayor has the right to warn their population. But it's always official and public institutions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, always. So it could be national, it could be local, regional.
Yeah, and this depends on the events. For instance, in some countries, for the topic of fire, only firefighter will have to warn the population, but it's only for fire. And other kind of events, it will be more the ministry who broadcast the alerts. So it depends of the countries, it depends of the crisis management structure, and it depends of the event. And that's why a public warning system must have a strong rights management to enable you to warn only the people you have the right to warn, and as a function of your responsibility.
Okay, and so how does it work? I mean, how does everybody get that communication?
It's also a good question, and it relies on technology. So in Europe, based on this European directive, and especially the Article 110, so it's the European Electronic Communication Code. So it's the code which will work with the mobile network operators. So here we are talking about a way to warn the population via or through the mobile network operators. And these mobile network operators have two ways to warn citizens in an area. It's called either location-based SMS, either cell broadcast. And those two technologies have different advantages for crisis management. So all countries in Europe have made different choices and have adapted to their local needs. When you talk about location-based SMS, it's technology which is sending an SMS to all handset detected in a certain area. So it's a classical SMS, which means what? It means once that you can reach 100% of the handset, because all handsets are compatible with SMS, classical SMS.
Okay.
It means also that you can send updates, because it's a one-to-one technology, but could be affected by the overload of the network, which is something that could happen. So broadcast, you have an instant broadcast mm-hmm. of this wave and of this alert, but you are totally blind on how many handsets are in this area and thus how many people you need to evacuate or to protect. But it's super fast and it's not affected by any network congestions. So that's why those two technologies are actually complementary in crisis management, and that some countries have chosen to implement both of them.
Okay. And what's your experience of utilizing a public warning system within, let's say, the life cycle of a crisis? Do you have any examples where such a system has really proven itself in protecting lives?
Yeah, we can take the example of the flooding of last July, so July 2021. So it was really huge floodings, which has touched a lot of different countries, France, Belgium, also Germany. And so in Belgium, they have a public warning system based on location-based SMS, and they have sent 2 million of location-based SMS for helping people to evacuate, find the right way to the shelters, adopt the correct behavior. And it's really important to say in the life cycle of management, you don't only send an alert when it's really late. Mm-hmm. It's important to send vigilance before, like, please be aware that you could be evacuated. Take your personal affair with you and be ready to evacuate. And then only you can send an evacuation order. But it's not just an evacuation order like leave. You need to give precise instructions to help reassuring people. And once you have evacuated, that's good, because their people are in safety. But it's important to give them updates, regular updates on how the situation is evolving, and especially to give them the final, I would say, instruction that the situation is back to normal and that they can come back safely to their homes. So that's when we talk about public warning system, it's not only for protecting them, it's to inform them, to be the lifeline of these citizens which are affected by a danger.
Okay. And given that every country, county, city, or you know, states, certainly in Europe, but beyond Europe and the world, everywhere's different. And how can you be certain that you can reach everybody that needs to be alerted, in particular, maybe more rural locations, the old, the young? So obviously, you know, there's a huge assumption that the individuals must have a mobile phone, I assume. I mean, how flexible is the system to go beyond that?
That's a very nice question and important question, because a public warning system must be a multi-channel public warning system. Here we have talked only about two technologies via the mobile network operators, but actually you must broadcast the alerts on all medias possible. It's important that your public warning system is connected to the sirens, for instance, to wake up citizens, to make sure that citizens know this is, there is something very serious ongoing. Please check your mobile phone. It's important as well to send, for instance, voice calls, because all people doesn't always have a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
So voice call is super important for all people. And it's also super important to push these alerts on the social networks, because that's what actually people consult a lot. And it's important to send these alerts on social network, but also on the different medias, the news, or also when, if you are in a situation where you have no coverage, mobile network coverage, for instance, in some subway, it's important that you can push these alerts on the public boards that you see in the subways. So it's super important to have a multi-channel approach to make sure that everyone has received the information.
Okay. And how about sort of like loudspeaker systems, you know, public tannoy systems? Is it also connecting through that?
Yeah. Everything which is connectable can be connected. The point is to make sure that all these channels work together. There's an international standard called the Common Alerting Protocol,
mm-hmm.
which structures in informatic ways and in the content of the alerts, meaning it makes some mandatory fields like where is the location of this danger I have, how serious is that, what is the instruction, what does it concern? And these kind of things are structured within a common alerting protocol, international standards that we currently use, and that's this feed that we push towards all the different medias.
Okay, God, that's really fascinating and great to hear that, you know, the technology is out there really to protect us all as citizens in our chosen, or not so much chosen, but our countries that we reside and live in. So, no, that's absolutely fantastic, Emily. Now, final question I have for you. What have you learned by working in your profession that you may have adapted as your own standard working practice, or perhaps which you even use in your own personal life?
The ability to adapt to every situation, because we have always situation where we haven't planned anything, situation that we haven't anticipated, and it's important to be resilient and to adapt and to take it with a smile and move forward.
Absolutely. So that ability to change, adapt, and to be flexible during a crisis is so important for organisations, individuals, ourselves, that's an absolutely fantastic tip, Emily. Thank you very much. So that really concludes our time today. So I'd like to thank you very much for joining me and for our podcast, and look forward to speaking to you again very soon in the future, I hope.
Thank you, Jim.
The podcast, In Case of Emergency, Insights into Extensive Crisis Management, is hosted by F24, Europe's leading software as a service provider for incident and crisis management, as well as business messaging. If you have topics or questions that you'd like to have answered, or if you would like to share your experience as a guest on the podcast, then just let us know. Write us your suggestions for future topics, and please include your contact details by emailing us at marketing@f24.com. Thank you for listening, and goodbye until next time.